This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Yesterday, 51 Bravery Awards were handed out for people who'd shown extraordinary courage. And one of those was Mr. Helman Rogers Fort. He's from Chippendale in Sydney and he's with me on the line this morning. Good morning, Helman.
Good morning.
So, gosh, it must have been such a terrifying thing when you heard, I guess, this fire. When did you first realise that something major was happening?
Oh, look, it was 5 o'clock in the morning and my little baby boy had just woken up.
Wow.
And I was awake, so I heard some crackling noise up next door on the next door property. And I thought it was actually, you know, maybe some people just breaking in a property or something, or maybe just a loud neighbor. You know, I was concerned. So I had a look.
Yeah.
And when I looked over, I could see over the fence there was a big, you know, a flame. So I got a little bit concerned. So I had to peek over the fence to realize that there was a full-blown fire from the ground all the way up to the ceiling.
What did you say to your family? Because your first thought must have been for your baby that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And your wife.
Well, I basically ran inside the house again and I said to my wife, honey, call the fire brigade. There's a fire. I'm going next door. And I just ran off in my shorts and ran over to the next door property. And obviously the first thing I did was knock on the door and scream and yell and hope that somebody would open. I knew the neighbors, they normally had a car at the back and they didn't have it parked inside. So, and they were all young kids. So I thought, well, maybe they're out and they're gone and they're not in the house. So I knocked on the nearby neighbors on the next door, left and right, making sure that I knew them as well. And they had kids, so making sure that they would come out, you know. And so they responded and they weren't confident that they knew whether there was anybody inside the house. So after we turned off the gas and electricity, then we sort of, a few more neighbors came out and a little bit of traffic was stopping at Cleveland Street and it was a busy road and people could see the smoke from afar. So
it was good thinking that you turned off the gas and the electricity.
Yeah, I think I was more frightened for the property to blow, basically.
Yeah, and then when did you realize that there was someone inside the house?
Well, we basically had to bust the door in. After I knocked on both neighbors and asked the question, they couldn't confirm there were people inside. So then we kept knocking on the door. By a miracle, there was a guy that showed up as well and pulled over with his car, and he was a fireman. So he pulled up next. He pulled up and he walked up to the door, and he was there with me. And we both said, "Look, if you're going in, I'm going in with you. So let's go." So we busted the door in, and we walked in, and you know, we opened the door, and it was smoke all the way from the floor to the ceiling.
Helman, I have to say, I'm amazed that you went in when you didn't even know whether or not there were people in there.
Well, that's right. I don't think we were all confident to, like, you know, just barge in through the house. We obviously felt the door and it wasn't warm enough that, you know, the door was not burning. So we opened the door and stayed aside and let the smoke come out. And then obviously we looked at each other and said, yeah, we're going in. So we went to, there was a first bedroom on the right-hand side as you walk in through the corridor. So we went into that bedroom and we couldn't see anything. Everything was black. And of course there's no electricity. I just turned everything off and you wouldn't want to turn it on. So anyway, we felt our way through and there was a bed there and we felt someone's feet. So we dragged him out of the bed and he got all surprised and he was a half, you know, half not coherent. Basically, he was confused and disoriented.
Was it an adult or a child?
No, they're all children. They're all adults, probably about mid-20s.
Okay.
But yeah, needless to say that he was on his undies. We're dragging him out of bed and he's sort of semi-confused and he sort of got semi-aggressive. In shock, I guess, if someone's pulling him out of his bed.
Of course.
I don't know what he was thinking, but I wouldn't be one of them waking up that way.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, then he came out and he was obviously confused and we asked the question, anybody else in the house? And he was sort of half not there. So we sort of started screaming and yelling inside the house and hoping that someone else would walk up and come out. And then we heard footsteps upstairs on the first floor. Obviously, we had woken up somebody on the top bedroom and the main bedroom that faces the front with a balcony.
They were above you, were they?
Yeah, this is a terrace. It was the second floor. So then we heard the footsteps and they were coming down. So obviously we made our way through the corridor. And when we got into the next room after the corridor was the lounge room and it was all in full fire, you know, from the corner all the way up to the ceiling. And the flame was in the ceiling. So obviously we like screaming on the stairwell, you know, come down. And there's a fire. And anyway, this couple, out of our surprise, were walking their way down to the staircase. So we got them out of there quick because I was afraid that something else might happen and maybe we didn't have enough time that, you know, we could all be trapped in there. So we just basically rushed off with them out, me and the fireman, obviously Ian, he was there also. And yeah, we took them out, and then again we asked the same question. Anybody else in the house? Because I knew there was one more guy, young guy that I knew, and he normally parked his car at the back, and he wasn't there. So then they said, no, he's in Melbourne, So then we sort of felt a little bit better, but then the other guy, when we were outside, he said, oh, no, there's one more guy, he's in the lounge. So, yeah, we sort of walked in there in the corridor again, in the lounge room, which is basically the first open room after the hallway, after the little corridor from the door. And, yeah, we felt our way through into the lounge, and, yeah, sure enough, there were two seats there, and he was fully asleep. He had no idea what was going on. We had to drag him out from his feet, basically, all along the floor. And when he gained consciousness, he sort of woke up and started coughing, and he was charcoal black. His face was black. Mm. And he started coughing and woke up to the fact that he saw what was going on, and he was in shock.
Sounds like he wouldn't have had much longer before he would have asphyxiated.
Yeah, he was in the lounge room where the flame was, where the whole thing started. So if there was smoke everywhere else in the house, there was obviously a lot more smoke in the lounge room, hence why I didn't see him. Also, there was a lot of light from the flame in the lounge room, but I didn't see him in the couch. And he was also wearing black, so that didn't help. I didn't expect him to be there. Nobody would expect anyone to be sleeping in the lounge room with all that flame, and you couldn't really see very far. So had the other person not confirmed that there was someone else in the house, nobody else would have gone in.
In this whole time when you were going back in there, did you feel scared for your own safety?
I guess so, yeah, but I was more concerned about saving life. So, I wasn't foolish or anything. I was looking around and making sure that it seemed safe, you know, like there was no roof that was going to cave in or that the stairwell seemed, structurally okay when you walked and you tread on it, that it wasn't just going to cave in under you.
Mm. But were you affected by the smoke, though?
To be honest, I held my breath for quite a long time, and I went in there two or three times. So every time I went outside, I took a few big breaths, and then I held my breath right in. And you never forget this thing, you know, like stay low and go, go, go. So.
Yeah. Well, get down low and go, go, go. Good.
That's right. So that's what I did. And then I also had a jumper that I put on my mouth to take an assisted breath whilst I was inside. But as much as I do remember, I held my breath and I just, we were not inside, just, looking around and playing. So we kind of rushed in and rushed out. And, I think the slowest time was when we were dragging someone out and you've got to carry the full weight. So that didn't sort of help because it's not something that you can do and run.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, the great thing about your story, though, is that everybody actually got out alive. Some of the other people who've been awarded bravery awards weren't so blessed. Some of the people perish
well,
in there.
That was all God. That was not me at all. I'm still humbled to the fact that there were people there sleeping, you know, and I didn't want to find anybody. I just wanted to know that the door was open and nobody was there, and we had saved or at least prevented the neighbors' homes from getting burned or having any problems. And the fire brigade, I knew they were on the way because my wife had made the call. So, yeah, I'm just hoping to be there and making sure that there was nobody affected. And they let the fire brigade do their job, but by the time they showed up, these guys were already outside with smoke inhalations, and the ambulance showed up and the police showed up, so everybody came to the scene really, really, really quickly, which I think it was within, I don't know, 5.